To me, Rotary has always been a grand adventure in friendship. It must be remembered that in the very early days, our group was composed mostly of young men from small communities where friendships had been intimate and where the joys of neighborliness were known. We had come to the great city for such advantages as it had to offer, but the noise, confusion, worries, and hectic struggle for existence frequently reacted harshly on our jangling nerves. Something very precious, intimate communication with warm, sympathetic, and understanding friends, had been taken from our lives. Our Rotary Club filled the vital need. To us, it was like an oasis in a social desert, a place for relaxation, rest, and return to the life worth living. We were content to warm ourselves and coddle ourselves in the glow of friendship and let the rest of the world go by.
Welcome to another episode of Rotary Radio. And this week we have another special guest who'll be talking to us about the media and national literacy. And as you know, September is known as Rotary Basic Literacy Month worldwide. That's Rotary International's Rotary Basic Literacy Month. And we have Mr. Julian Rogers, who's the managing director of the Jamaica Observer Media Group, who gave a really great speech at our last meeting Monday night. And we have it right here on the Rotary Radio for you. Without much further ado, Mr. Julian Rogers.
His career has seen him serving in several capacities in print, television, and radio. Rogers is noted for his work in regional television as the host and producer of several programs, including Talk Caribbean with the Caribbean Broadcasting Union. He launched the most successful morning television program in Trinidad and Tobago in the 1990s. His television and radio programming expertise has been market leading in several countries across the region. Rogers is a graduate of the University of the West Indies First Communications Program and then served as an advisor to the university on media training. His work as a media trainer has had a positive impact on several broadcasters and journalists across the Caribbean. He has also served as a consultant and advisor to several regional and international institutions on media development. In 2014, Rogers was made a member of the British Empire, MBE, by Queen Elizabeth II on the recommendation of the government of Barbados for his 50-year contribution to the field of broadcasting. Fellow Rotarians and guests, please make welcome our keynote speaker this evening, Julian Ernest Rogers.
Thank you very much. Wow. I'd look around to see who that she was talking about. I'm very happy to be here, President. Thank you very much for the invitation. I couldn't turn it down because I would not be able to go to work tomorrow because there's a certain lady who works in our finance department who made me aware of the club and its activities. I think I must have been about the second or third week I was here in April. So there's no surprise that I am actually here to join you this evening. So I'm very happy. Yes, I'm a rhino. Unfortunately, my last activity as a Rotarian was in Antigua and Barbuda. That was about, 2014, I think it was. And there were lunchtime meetings. And it was very, very difficult, I have to tell you that. But from what I hear, you have good evening meetings. And if I am to go by the menu... I think that I should be passing here on the way home or go home and come back.
No, don't go home.
Don't go home?
Tell your wife to meet you here.
Yeah. As it turns out, we live right around the corner at Hopefield Avenue, so It's I can literally walk if you consider it still safe to do so.
So just tell her to meet you here. Yeah.
So she's right here, tell her.
Right. So what? Right. So meet in here, everyone. Right.
So those of you who haven't met Allison, she's right here. And she made the decision that I should come and we should come and live in Jamaica. When I spoke to the president, she told me many things. And chief among them was something that I saw exhibited here today, which is the matter of passion. And also the translation of what you call your pop. Pop-up is very popular these days. You have pop-up shops, pop-up radio stations, pop-up all kinds of things. But I think that what you've shown here today is that you translated that pop in where you say passion creates an opportunity through people. And I feel like an instrument of such a particular theme or thrust. So that accepting the invitation to come and chat with you got me thinking about, first of all, in the conversation, what would the title of this conversation be? And since I'm in the media, it is always automatic that you would look to see and to talk about how the media would have a role in any part of a country's development. So with the International Literacy Day, this is one of the biggest challenges that we face as a nation, as a Caribbean society, which is how can we ensure that we have people who are truly literate? Now, for those of you in this room, you may consider yourself very literate and therefore you don't have a problem. But take the case of somebody who I came across recently, very attractive lady, working for us at Observer. And I was quite shocked to find out that this lady's literacy was really well below normal. And I'm being kind here. Because when I was told the story of this young lady, she had the day before been boasting to me about the fact that she had two daughters at university. I was shocked to learn the next day that she could not write her name or recognize numbers, etc. Fabulous worker, from all accounts. But that literacy level that you expected as you looked at her was non-existent. And so I tell that story because I think that we tend to take things like that very much for granted. We see people and we think that, yes, they can read and write. Really a very basic, what they describe as a human right. You have a right to live in peace and harmony and to get food and have access to water and many of those things that you consider is very important for survival. But what about having the capacity to read, to write, to be able to count, as put simply by your president earlier this evening? Those are things we take for granted. But in the absence of such skills or such ability, how do you expect a person to develop? How, by extension, do you expect your families to develop, communities to develop? How do you expect a nation to develop if it is that you have a substantial number of people in your country who cannot read, write, count, and use those skills to be able to have a decent living, etc., and thrive and survive? Just think of it. I was at university here in the 1970s, and I can recount as I listened to the radio and watched JBC television that there was a tremendous drive for improving the literacy levels of Jamaica. I was here in 1974 or 75 in that era. And I remember hearing on the radio and seeing a lot of the work that was done by agencies such as the Agency for Public Information and so on. And I'm happy to report that the numbers that were bandied about at that time have made a tremendous leap since that time, since the 70s to today, where Jamaica can now boast that it has somewhere in the region and the upper levels of 80% literacy. But that's a tremendous improvement. And I think that you need to come to terms with the reality of what has happened. You had government agencies involved in pushing a literacy campaign, but you've had non-governmental organizations, NGOs as we call them, or non-state actors as they're described these days, as I learned from my wife, and individuals who have taken the time to encourage people to learn to read, learn to write, and of course, most importantly, learn to count. Think of the farmer, who you may say is the lowest level of activity in the country, but you're making a very sad mistake. But if he's growing produce, and he's growing it to make a living. He's growing it because he's got a family to support. What happens if he can't count it? Will he be robbed, taken advantage of? I know of a guy in Antigua and Barbuda, rich as ever, inherited a lot of money from his father and grandfather, hundreds of acres of land, etc., cannot count to save his life. He's able to buy the finest cars, entertain the nicest of people, can't count. Goes by to pick up the rent from somebody, and he says simply, "Give me what you got." It's true. It's a true story. Give me what you got in the till. Hand it over, and that's it. So think carefully. If that guy had taken the time to learn to read and write, he's a big man. Family had money, land, etc., but nobody paid attention in his house to whether he could read or write. It was not a concern. There was enough money and there was enough of everything around. Just think of that. So when we talk about literacy, I wouldn't even spend time talking about the theme of this year's observance. The theme is literacy and multilingualism. Now, we speak two languages here, don't we?
Yeah.
One that I'm learning more words every day. I heard some words tonight that I don't know that I ever heard them before, so I will be checking out tomorrow what is meant by this extra baggage you're referring to, etc. So if you cannot deal with the first language, how are you going to deal with the second one or deal with another one? Like, you know, they say Spanish should be our second language or French should be our second or third language, as the case may be. We need to start first learning to understand and communicate in our own language, whether that is formal English or whether it is a patois or Creole, as some people say it is. But one of those has to be important. If you go to St. Lucia or Dominica, for instance, they have a patois. And it's a French derivative. So if you go to St. Lucia and you say certain words, the same word does not apply in Dominica. And the same Creole is not understood and spoken in Haiti because they have a Creole language of their own. And if you go to the Dutch territories, etc., they have Dutch and they have another Creole as well. And you go to the other French territories in the Caribbean. So I raise all those things to say to you that the matter of literacy is not as easy as you may think it is, or achieving that. Governments have spent a lot of money in the educational systems that they've established to ensure that as many people as possible come out of the schools with a certain level of education, particularly with the basic elements of language and counting and writing. Now, I know what you will tell me. There are people graduating from the university who can't speak English or can't write it properly. How the hell did they pass? It's happened. It happened for a very long time until the university instituted something called use of English and said, if you don't pass the use of English, you can't get your degree. So what that points out for me is that there's literacy challenges at several levels of the educational process. So where do we go? I'm going to make it even more complicated now by suggesting to you that we move from that level of literacy and the basic numeracy and whatever else to the literacy that you need to survive in this new technological driven world. We've got a whole expanse of new knowledge coming to the fore. And if you don't take the time to be literate in those particular areas, you're going to be left behind. So when we talk about literacy now, we're talking about the fact that you must be able to survive and thrive in this world in a new environment of knowledge. So you go into a school these days now, you talk to the young people and you say to them, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, they've gotten very smart. They're no longer talking about being a doctor and a lawyer anymore. They realize that that doesn't make any more sense because they now have a certain literacy that is leading them in a new direction. They're embracing the technology and recognizing that there are new roles for them and that they must begin to skill themselves and get the knowledge, etc., to be ready to do these new jobs, to take advantage of these new opportunities. Now, you may say that the young people are wasting their time on their phones and they're doing Facebook not even Facebook anymore. What do I hear? Snapchat? No, you come again. Huh? Come again. Where are these young people? They're silent on this? Huh? Snapchat. Next one? Huh? Yeah, next one again? The one with the pictures? Instant? Instagram. Come on. Okay. So you realize that in itself is another form of literacy development. You can't talk to them about records and CDs and
cassette tapes.
Well, that's really aging. That is aging me and you. Right? So we need to come to terms with what is this new literacy about and how we can help to improve people's capacities to be able to function. This is the operative word, to be able to function in this new environment. Now, when your president and I discussed this subject, it came down to this matter of talking about the role of the media in the development of a literacy thrust, so to speak, in a community such as Jamaica. And the things I talk about really apply to much of the Caribbean. I've run radio stations for a very long time, since I've been in my 20s or so. Radio is my first love, other than my wife, right? I have to go home, right? Television is my second love. And then newspaper is third. They're in that order. And I have to tell you that why radio is so much my first love, it's not because it's the first thing I ever did in terms of media work, but because I recognize over the years how pervasive radio is, how useful radio is, how easy it is to produce material for radio, because the sound, the radio forces people to use their imaginations. You can take sounds and you can create a whole environment, and you will just hear that and know what it is, you know. Television, of course, you throw up the pictures and it's very easy to give the story. Print is a whole nother matter. You got to be able to read and understand what is on the page, etc. I say to you tonight that in the drive to create this new level of literacy in Jamaica, or for this matter, for the rest of the Caribbean, there is a role for the media to play. But the media people are part of this society. We're not separate and distinct from anybody else. We're not separate and distinct from the Rotarians, for instance. So I say that we have to make a commitment. And not that we haven't made a commitment, not that we haven't been committed, but I think we have to renew that commitment by recognizing our role, our specific role, in enhancing literacy in a country. How can we do that? We can join forces with Rotary, for instance, and help to promote the work that you do, so people know what's happening, so your activities are well known. We can do that for all the likely partners like that. Will you say to me, no media people came tonight?
The Roacher podcast is right in front of you.
But I was about to give you credit for that, because I did learn that you record your events and you prepare material for dissemination to the media. And that's important, because I have to tell you that media houses can't cover everything in the country. It's impossible. It will take an army of people to be able to cover every event. And I've said to people, to organizations such as yours and even money people, etc., don't wait for the media to come to you. You now have the capacity to go to the media with your material and say, hey, we had a meeting last night. These are the things that happened. These are the pictures. This is the video, etc. And you make it easier then for the media to pick out that material and share it with the rest of the country and the communities, etc. But that is just one aspect of this, what I call a partnership that must exist if we are to really address the gaps and the challenges in terms of literacy in a country such as ours. Television has done a lot of work in terms of capturing a lot of the activity and the drive for literacy by the kinds of programs that are put on, the original programs that are put on. And I'm not talking about the programs that we import. I'm talking about the work done at the local level, at our country level, that highlights and produces the kind of content that is relevant for developing literacy and understanding in this country. The newspaper is a whole nother story. I know you're going to say to me, boy, I read the paper today and I had so many mistakes. How could there be instruments of literacy development? I have to say to you, I feel your pain too. Every day, every paper. I've just spent a year in Trinidad, for instance, at the Trinidad Guardian as the managing editor for a year in a project in which I merged the print team or journalists with the television people and the radio people, etc. And one of my first jobs was to say to the journalists, can you find a way in which to write copy that doesn't have any errors? And I became famous for being called the Grammarly Man, because there's a program called Grammarly, which I had used and discovered and used over the years, that allowed you to really track your writing and fix your grammar, your words, your word usage, etc., and really tighten it up. And I recommend it to anybody. You don't have to be a journalist to use it. Any writing that you have to do is Grammarly, the word grammar and L-Y. And it's a free version. And if you can afford, you can buy the pro version, and it works even better for you. But the writing within the industry has fallen on hard times. I don't know if it's because we don't hire good people, we don't pay well enough. Some people say we don't attract the right people. I mean, there could be a litany of things, but my argument is this. If you have pride in your work, no matter whether you get a dollar paid or $100 paid, I mean, you really should work at making sure that you do a good job. It's not about the amount of money you get. It's about whether you have pride in what you're doing. And it starts there. And if the pride really shows up, trust me, you'll get compensated for doing a good job. And that, I think, is the approach. So the media, I think, or I shouldn't say I think, I'm firmly convinced that if we are to move from the 87% of literacy rate in this country, that the media has a specific role to play in partnering with anybody, any organization, any grouping, with government for that matter, in driving this literacy agenda. There's a lot of work to be done. I mean, when you look at the figures that I've seen in the international community, there are millions upon millions of people who are really, really desperate because they cannot read anything at all in their language. They cannot write a stroke of anything that makes any sense, and far less they can count. Three basic things, which in the United Nations Development series and the next set of agendas to 2030, they make the point that literacy is now a human right. Just as is any other the rights of life and liberty, etc., that you must be able to have the capacity to be able to communicate other than just speaking. Must be able to write it down. Must be able to read something. Because there is so much information available to you for your own living and existence that you must be able to absorb and use that material as it comes to you. So I say to you tonight, I embrace the work that Rotary has done in this area. I embrace the work that has been done by individuals and by non-governmental organizations, etc. And I encourage my media colleagues to join in the effort of really pushing this literacy agenda, because we can do better, but most importantly, it's our responsibility too. And I thank you.
A single act of good can go a long way. It can cross oceans, cure disease, and create equality. As members of Rotary, we are people of action, and our actions have the power to speak loud and clear. Our vision and commitment to finding solutions keeps us connected to those who need it most, changing lives and creating opportunities with our groundbreaking work in education and literacy. There are more kids enrolled in school now than at any other point in human history, which is why supporting teachers is key. In classrooms, our innovative approach creates critical thinkers and big dreamers with the skills to achieve. Our global grants train teachers to use materials, new methods, and technology to inspire and energize students of all ages. We believe education has the power to lift families up, make real change, modify behavior, create healthy habits, and open minds. We believe that education creates security and safety in families so they can support, provide, and make informed, empowered decisions. Your contribution keeps students far and wide connected to a world of good. Every donation is an action that speaks volumes across classrooms, communities, and continents. Because the distance between an act of good and the lives it touches isn't as vast as you might imagine. Learn how you can support the cause that means the most to you